You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
They've announced a development around how bacterial immune infections can be harmful for their host and why they're not found in all bacteria. Lillian was intrigued to find out what this actually meant, especially because the finding shows that existing CRISPR antiviral immunity was often a disadvantage to the bacterium when infected by certain viruses. Now, CRISPR, as Lillian understands it to be, is well known for its repurposing as a tool for precise genetic engineering. This means literally editing your genes so that perhaps you could remove a certain disease from your DNA. This is far off in the future, however, and this study was dealing with the CRISPR system itself, which are just segments of DNA, and they naturally occur in many bacteria and have the important function of providing bacteria with immunity against viruses of foreign DNA. Chris Brown is a researcher in the biochemistry department at Otago, and Peter Finneran is in the department of microbiology and immunology. Lillian spoke first to Chris to learn more about the findings.
So this new development relates to a surprising finding, really, from our colleagues in the UK, that they found that the CRISPR system that they were looking at, which provides a defence system for bacteria against their viruses, which are called bacteriophages or bacteria eaters, this CRISPR system that they thought would provide a defence against all viruses, in some cases seemed to be actually not helping the bacteria. So what they found is that in some cases the virus was actually conferring a benefit to the bacterium. So the bacterial defence was in preventing that virus integrating into the genome of the bacteria was actually harmful to the bacteria. So what they found is that the bacterium would then lose that system. So they were a bit surprised about that, and then they did some more experiments around it to verify that it was definitely happening with the system that they were looking at, which is a single bacterium called Pseudomonas aeruginosa. Now that bacterium is a pathogen, it's a human pathogen that causes serious infections in immunocompromised individuals. So it's quite an important bacterium in itself. But what they wondered was, is this a general sort of phenomenon across many different organisms, different bacteria, or is it really just specific for what they were looking at? They asked us to look across a lot of different genomes to see whether the same process was likely to happen. And when we analysed the genomes that were available at the time, which was about 170,000 different genomes from bacteria, we found that indeed it was likely to be a general phenomenon, and that may account for the fact that not all bacteria use this defence system. So we had earlier observed that only probably about 40% of bacteria have this defence system. We're a little bit surprised at that, and we wondered about whether it was a problem with our software that we had developed to look for it, but others it found much the same thing. So that may help to explain it. So what seems like a very good defence system might in some circumstances be actually
not
detrimental to the bacteria.
Not so good. So how does that then, what does that mean for I guess, people?
So bacteria are in a continuous sort of arms race, but it actually sort of really open warfare with their viruses. So on any one day, it's predicted, certainly, and these figures come from the ocean, that 20 to 40% of all the bacteria in the ocean are killed by viruses. So there's a continual turnover because these viruses are continually attacking bacteria in all different systems on Earth. Now, some bacteria, of course, are significant pathogens, and we're keen to have antibiotics or some way of killing them. But many other bacteria in the environment, like particularly the ones in the ocean, are fixing carbon. The photosynthetic bacteria in the ocean fix more carbon than all the land plants.
Right.
So they're very important for the biosphere. So this turnover and this continual sort of warfare is an important process. I think understanding how the bacteria are defending themselves is really important. And in the field of pathogens, some pathogens are particularly, their pathogenicity is conferred by the fact that they can become antibiotic resistant and take up other genes from the environment. So in those bacteria, they actually don't have this particular defence system, or some of them don't have that defence system.
Can you, for a total newbie, explain, I suppose, what a pathogen is and why that's different?
So pathogens, I suppose, are things that we label as being harmful to humans or plants, so plant pathogens, human pathogens. So often they contain, you know, genes that express toxins, proteins that are toxic, so they can be harmful to humans for that reason.
Mm.
Or they'll just, you know, grow and infect the cells and limit growth of cells, for instance, in plants.
So my understanding of CRISPR, in that it being a tool, essentially, but it's not something that is actually being used on humans, you know, fairly regularly. So what does this kind of development mean in that scheme of things?
So actually, the CRISPR system was originally identified in bacteria, and there's actually a lot of different systems in different bacteria and in other microorganisms like archaea. So there's a lot of variety of systems. Now, some of those systems, people realised they could be taken out of those bacteria and used as specific gene editing or genetic engineering tools. So people are still searching through, and there's still new systems becoming available where they're found in, you know, I suppose relatively obscure organisms, new CRISPR systems that then they can try and repurpose to being biotechnology tools.
These basically half full bacteria have these systems, and that's their natural role is to basically provide immunity to the bacteria to these viruses that will only infect bacteria. You know, like we can get infected by the flu, for example, and bacteria kind of have their own viruses that will infect them and kill them. And basically these CRISPR systems are like kind of like our adaptive immune systems, so they will remember what past viruses they've come into contact with, and they store that memory, and they use that memory to now recognize them very specifically if they kind of attack them again. So it's a lot like how we can get vaccinated and then we generate immunity against that virus. So bacteria kind of have that, the equivalent of that, although it works in a very different way. And then researchers kind of thought, hey, you know, we could use this because it can be sort of, it uses these memories to target and cut DNA sequences very specifically. So that's where people realized, hey, we could take these things out of bacteria and sort of program them to cut any DNA sequence we want. And then that's kind of what led to sort of the biotechnological, you know, uses of them, basically. Yeah, but, you know, they're basically everywhere in the environment. You know, you've probably eaten a whole lot of CRISPR this morning if you had any yogurt, for example. So the bacteria are full of these systems.
I see. And so, because I spoke a bit with Chris about, I guess you guys referred to it as the arms race, and if I understand correctly, this kind of idea that it's just happening all the time around us anyway, things are bacteria killing each other off and that kind of thing. So what is it that this research does, which means that we kind of understand that more, and I suppose, which is what my understanding of science and research and things, which we're always trying to find stuff out to make things better for humans.
So we do, what we now know, I guess from this, which we didn't know before, was that, so viruses typically have two major types of ones that infect bacteria. And one of these types, the main type people have been studying sort of infect and basically kill the bacteria and just destroy it and then produce many more viruses. But then many other viruses out there will infect bacteria and kind of lay dormant and sort of hijack and stay silent inside the bacteria for a while. These ones have not really been looked at as much, and so that's what Edsa's group and Exeter was looking at, was saying, well, hang on, everyone's been studying CRISPR, looking only at these one sort of type of viruses. What if you look at this other really important lot of viruses that are out there in nature? What effects are they having? And that was what was really surprising, was that these viruses, when they infect, they actually provide protection from these other viruses from ones that will actually lead to the immediate kind of death of the bacteria. So the viruses themselves can provide some immunity, and so the idea is that when the virus comes in and protects, it actually protects that cell from being infected by further viruses, but then the cell's kind of stuck with this virus, which at some point in its life is going to suddenly decide to take over and kill that cell. And so it turns out that in those cases, the CRISPR-Cas systems in those cells are actually trying to recognize that virus. And because the virus is now hiding inside the bacteria, that immune system in the bacteria now is seeing this thing as like foreign and it wants to destroy it. But because it's hiding there in itself, it will actually destroy itself. So the bacteria will basically self-destruct if that immune system is still working.
So what is next for you guys?
Because if you kind of come back to the analogy before, if you want something that can kill a pathogenic bacteria, and you want to use one of these viruses, and if the bacteria can become immune, can we use viruses or find viruses which can then overcome that immunity? And so that's what we're quite interested in, is like understanding viruses that can actually ignore or hide from these immune systems. People probably don't appreciate that, you know, phages are just like absolutely everywhere on the planet. They outnumber us. There's more genetic diversity within them than all the other organisms on the planet, and we've barely just sort of scratched the surface.
Totally.
And every time we have, we've found really incredible things that also have quite good biotechnological utility, like the CRISPR-Cas systems. So I think there's really a lot of potential, not only to understand what's happening in the oceans and kind of in our environments.
And the soil, I suppose.
Yeah, this is happening a lot in the soil. You get a handful of soil, it'll be full of these viruses and the bacteria. And they'll be very important for the sort of cycling of nutrients and things like this as well.
And then this is what, I mean, I do keep asking about humans, but I feel like it's just way more than that, right? Like, this is not about us at all.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of like, they're almost like they deserve a minute of silence because people don't think about them. Because they're everywhere, and they outnumber everything on the planet. There are just more of them. And they're involved in so many processes. They're kind of like the bottom of the pyramid of life almost, and they're really critical for all of these global cycles. So, you know, they're turning over bacteria in the oceans at, you know, enormous rates and things. And actually, coming back to the human example, there's also a lot of evidence recently that these viruses that will infect and kill bacteria are also really abundant in our on our bodies and in our bodies, and they're kind of an underappreciated part of our microbiomes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.